couple of weeks ago, while Sally and I were away on our anniversary vacation, it's a little bit shorter than 157 years, a very strange, bewildering, unexpected, astonishing thing happened. You might think that I'd mention getting a horseback ride on the shores of the black sand beach in Vieques, or taking in the glow in the dark waters of the bioluminescent bay on a late night kayak adventure in Puerto Rico, or the way the beaches emanated an inexplicable turquoise. As you can see, I am Puerto Rican and I love my island. But I'm not. I was bewildered, amazed, and astonished by another moment altogether. Sally was making lunch for us one day. I watched, splayed out on a hammock, as she pulled out bread, peanut butter, and jelly to make us these sandwiches. And as I observed her, something happened. Something new, exciting, terrifying, unexpected. Sally put one slice of bread on top of the other, slathered one slice with peanut butter, dabbled jelly on top of that and mixed it around, took the empty piece of bread below the other and then placed it atop the covered slice, a triumphant. Sally, what are you doing? Wait, is that how you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Wait. Is that how you've been making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my presence for 11 years? And I've just now realized it? Wait. Is that how you've been making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like your whole life? Which led me to a host of spiraling internal and existential questions. May I share some of them with you? Does Sally know how I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Have I been making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches a way that she doesn't like? One slice with peanut butter, one slice with jelly, producing a completely different peanut butter to jelly ratio than hers? Has she silently judged me for 11 years? About the way that I make it? Am I judging her right now about the way she's making it? I can't tell anyone this. Because then, and I already see y'all, they'll be like, how did you not already know how your wife made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And then they'll think, does she even know this woman? And then I'm like, do I even know this woman? Does she even know me? Where have I been for like 11 years? I'm telling y'all, I was bewildered, amazed, and astonished. Something so mundane, like a PB&J sandwich on my vacation, mind you. Someone so known to me. My wife. Somehow in this moment became something altogether new. And perplexing. And really strange and disorienting and like a puzzle I couldn't put together on my own anymore. Thanks for stressing me out so much. Which feels a little like Pentecost to me. See, we read in this story in Acts that a group of Jesus' followers had spent days cowering, afraid, and isolated in an upper room, a hidden place, uncertain about their futures and their security. But in a bewildering and astonishing turn of events, they receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which compels them to go into the streets of their city. There, as they gathered, no longer hidden, but very publicly present, they began to speak in dozens of languages they did not know. Languages unknown to a gaggle of Galileans, but very much known to the myriad of people who were visiting Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. Can you picture it? Something so mundane. To the observers just minding their business and going about their day, I can only imagine the peanut butter and jelly looks, the double takes. At first, it probably seemed like something so ordinary. They may have quickly glanced over. A group of people had gathered, one of them saying something kind of loudly and boldly, and then another says something kind of loudly and boldly, and then another says something kind of loudly and boldly. Perhaps at first it just sounded like a cacophony of syllables. If I got all of you in the room to say something in a language you know all at once, but then those syllables started to string together in ways that were coherent to particular passers-by. Now, can you imagine that peanut butter and jelly look on their faces? They're carrying groceries and getting home and making their way to temple for sacrifice, and then they hear it. Wait, is that my dialect? Wait, are they Galileans from Palestine? Wait, how do they know my dialect from Phrygia? How do they know my dialect from Egypt? What's going on here? And so they found themselves bewildered, amazed, and astonished. No disparagement to these Galileans, but the whole thing must have felt so weird. It's not that Jesus' first disciples weren't bright or intelligent. It's just that they came from a particular place, a particular little dot on the Roman Empire's map with a particular language, better yet, a particular dialect, affect, style, swagger, way of being that would have given away who they were. Imagine Pastor Elijah trying to teach us how to make pupusas. Or Pastor Sally teaching us the rapturous dance of a whirling dervish. Or me teaching us how to build a Maori waka canoe. It's not that any of those things, I suppose, couldn't happen. It's just that none of them would happen in a vacuum, right? Out of nowhere, none of those things are native to us. And it's not like these Galileans were just like shooting the breeze out there in tongues, right? They were prophesying about the unjust incarceration and murder of an innocent man by the hands of the Roman Empire. They were prophesying about the history of their people and what they have endured under state violence. The young were seeing visions and the old were dreaming dreams. It's just, they were prophesying about God showing up for them and being with them as they struggled for a new world. Peter, just a little while later, we didn't get to this part today, but he says to the gathered crowd that gathers around the gathered crowd, save yourself from this corrupt generation. So you kind of get the tone, right? It's a bewildering, amazing, astonishing moment. And it's precisely here that the Holy Spirit demonstrates herself to the world. She dares to, in the words of Charles Wright and the Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band, express herself in all her glory and wonder. It's the kind of expression that turns us over and upside down and right side up again. It's like we become a magic eight ball that has to be shook a few times for us to see what the triangle is trying to tell us. Amazed and astonished, they ask one another, "What does this mean? ¿Qué está pasando aquí?" What a question, right? What does this mean? What does it mean for people who we expect to be doing one thing, or maybe we don't really think have the capacity to do much of anything, start doing another thing another way, a way we've never seen them do that thing before? What does it mean for people who've been hanging out in upper rooms, afraid for their very lives, to inch their way out of those rooms and onto city squares and start talking about history and suffering and prophecies and visions and dreams in ways that actually make no sense and somehow make all the sense in the world if we start doing like this a little bit? What does it mean that the church's birthday looks like this? Bewildering, astonishing, and amazing, like a pride parade where nobody has to worry about their physical safety or run from threats of a potential active shooter, and all they feel that day is pure, unadulterated, uninhibited joy. Like a predominantly white Southern Baptist seminary with a slaveholding history that actually gets excited about investing some of their endowment for the sacred work of racial reparations? Like a Senate hearing about drone warfare where public officials stand up and one by one begin repenting for the sins of their country's violence? Like a family of evangelicals not just gritting their teeth and saying, "I love you no matter what," but throwing a big, glittered up party for their queer child who's recently come out. Wait, what? Are those real things? Not really, are they? Oh, but what if they were? What if they were? What if they were? It would be a little like Pentecost, I think. When stuff that doesn't add up starts adding up because we've just been introduced to a whole new equation. And X, Y, and Z plus A, B, and C starts to equal you and me. Or as Dr. Willie Jennings calls it, the revolution of the intimate, which we talk about here a lot. The revolution of the intimate. When people who shouldn't be able to hear each other or fight for each other or speak alongside each other start gathering together and saying, "Wait, are you speaking my language? Wait, are you speaking my dialect? Do you know my affect? You know about my style, my swagger? But how could you? Where did you learn that? Where did you come from? How do you know me so well? Can you feel that feeling? That feeling you get when the person you love most in the world surprises you after 11 years with a sandwich concoction you do not understand, but feeds your body and soul nonetheless that day. That feeling you get when people you've been told are in prison because they deserve it, are poor because they deserve it, are unhoused because they deserve it, start speaking to you in a language you've never understood before. And something starts happening to you and you start speaking in tongues too at city council meetings and organizing events and at your workplace and in your church. You're starting to speak in tongues. That feeling you get when your blackness, when your Latinidad, when your queerness, when your stripped down, decolonized humanity, whatever that is for you, becomes the strength and power of 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 ancestors speaking to you in 1,000 tongues from eternity's doorstep, inviting you to live into your deepest self. That feeling you get when you stop long enough to ask, like these first hearers of the first Holy Ghost-filled followers asked, what does this mean? And something new begins inside you and around you. Oh, I am daily grateful that the Holy Spirit can still bewilder us out of our constructs, our mythologies, our collective moral failures, our bad policies, our social and political lies, our hopelessness, our apathy, our disregard for and denial of reality. I am daily grateful that the Holy Spirit keeps speaking to us until we understand. But I must ask us, because it's the church's anniversary and it's my job. Church, do we want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say? Will we turn our ear even when that Spirit says, save yourself from this corrupt generation? Bewildering Spirit, express yourself today and turn us upside down and then turn us right side up. Slow our pace. Slow us down as we walk the city squares of our world. And would you dare us to stop, to listen, to turn toward, to turn inward and outward? And if you'd have it, bewildering Spirit, to save ourselves while we still can.